This is the story of the one. As a maintenance engineer, he hears things differently. To the untrained ear, everything on his shop floor might sound fine, but he can hear gears grinding or a belt slipping. So he steps in to fix the problem at hand before it gets out of hand. And he knows Granger's got the right product he needs to get the job done, which is music to his ears. Call, click Granger.com, or just stop by. Granger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast, where we explore how to center our lives and our leadership in the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ.
In the midst of the disruptive cultural shockwaves of the 21st century.
Join us as we learn to take the love of God seriously as the force that holds all of us and everything together.
All right, fine. We'll start.
I didn't associate it with
me starting the episode.
No.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Gravity Leadership Podcast. I'm your host, one of your hosts today, Ben. And I'm here with Christy and Matt. Hey, guys.
Hello.
Hey.
Yep.
We're glad you're leading this.
Yeah. We made a plan of how to do the podcast, and then I completely forgot what the plan was. So, I don't know.
It's all right, Ben. You're here now. That's all that matters. Take some deep breaths, buddy.
Yeah. All right. I think I'm okay. You know, we didn't get a chance to talk about this last week, but last week was Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
And yes. One of the things that I'm always curious about, Christy, when it comes to holidays that are happening, is what kind of fancy pancakes or clothing or, you know what I mean? Like decorations or like yard games. Like, what do you have planned for Valentine's Day? What did you do with your family for Valentine's Day?
Yeah, I like holidays because I like having everything, like I like having a party for all the things.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I have a sweater, you guys. It's probably like 15 years old. It's pink and it says Je t'aime, which is I love you in French. Yeah. I wear it every Valentine's Day. It's like the only time I really wear it. I actually put it in a box with other Valentine's decor. So I don't even have it out in my closet except for that time. So I wear
once
that.
A year.
Yeah. Yes, I got my fingernails painted like Valentine's, with a little heart. We need to put the clip on the thing so people can see. But my fingers are painted red with a little heart on them, which is like really maybe dorky, but some people might love it. But the big thing we do is we do a red and pink meal. Everything is red and pink. So spaghetti, Jell-O.
Wait, like spaghetti is not red.
Well, the sauce
is red. The sauce is red.
Now I see.
And then smoothies that are pink, and my daughter made brownies with pink icing.
Okay.
And so, kind of fun.
What did
you guys do?
anticlimactic.
Don't tell me you forgot.
No, I always remember.
What did you do, Ben, for Valentine's Day?
We ordered takeout and watched a movie at home. Our daughter was working, and so that's what we did.
Okay.
Very romantic. I mean, for my wife and I, we really like that. We really like just being at home, and we like to just watch shows and movies together. So it was nice.
Great.
And we love takeout. We love food. So
right.
It was great.
Yes.
It was great.
Mm-hmm. And Sharon and I, we do lunch dates. Because the kids are at school, we don't have to pay a babysitter, and then, we don't really babysit anymore, but lunch dates are typically like half price as well as dinner dates.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So
did you dress up? Because I feel like you've done lunch dates before when you've dressed up like crazy. Like St. Patrick's Day is coming up. I'm pretty sure you dress up like crazy for that. Did you wear pink and red?
No. You know what? There's I am intending to stay married. For as long as I can. This is my... I'm still working out the strategy, but the intention is to stay married as long as I can. And I learned very early on that the more attention I draw to my wife when we are out in public, the less likely I'll be married for a long time.
Yes.
Does that make sense?
Yes. Yeah.
You tracking?
Oh, yeah.
All right.
It's a long-term strategy you've got there.
Yeah, I'm playing the long game here. So I sometimes sacrifice. I mean, I did buy a pair of purple jogger pants.
I saw that on social media.
Did you see those? I'm really proud of those. Yes. And I don't.
But your family, there's not a funny proud story of them. Behind
them. My kids do not like them. My wife doesn't talk about them, which is an indication of how she feels, I think.
If she ignores them, they'll go away, is I think her philosophy there.
Yeah.
Those pants, by the way, this is for another podcast intro, but those pants have an amazing, hilarious story behind them. That made Matt want to wear them a little bit less. So I'll just tease everybody with that because we can't get into it. We can't get into it.
But next week,
we can talk. We should talk about it. We should.
All right.
Yeah. Remind us, dear listener, about the purple pants, and Matt can share the story with you.
Oh my goodness, mercy. You guys!
It's very good.
Well, today we're going to talk about counseling.
Okay.
Which is maybe you need counseling because of the purple pants. I don't know.
Nope.
Okay.
It's a sign of my mental health that I am comfortable wearing bright purple pants. Yeah. I'm sorry, I interrupted you. Go ahead, Christy.
No, I just like that's what we're going to talk about today, which I think is we're going to share our own stories. Which, to be honest, I've actually thought about this podcast several times before we sat down right now to do it because normally we're talking about a topic and I'm free and I'm like, yeah, this is great. But then all of a sudden this one is like, ooh, okay, this is like, this is my heart, this is my life, this is my story, and same with you. And so I just appreciate you guys coming, being willing to share, and hopefully it's helpful to our listeners. So I thought maybe we'd start first with just talking about what is counseling. What are we meaning by that? And maybe what are we not meaning by that? Now, I want to make a disclaimer. None of us are counselors. None of us have training in that. And so we don't claim that.
Right.
But in how would you define counseling, Ben?
Oh, I should have given this some more thought. I didn't know there was going to be a test. This is a hard question, Christy.
You want to think about it and I'll go first?
So Ben? Well, when you say counseling, I'm just saying like we're not licensed therapists, right? Like that's kind of what we're meaning by counseling. Because there is such a thing as like pastoral counseling. You know, like that's that's a phrase that I've used that, you know, as a pastor, there is a kind of counseling that I can give. But I am not a licensed therapist.
Correct.
None of us, right? So we're talking about that.
Yes. When we say counseling, we're meaning a licensed therapist. Yeah. Who is not a friend or your spouse or a pastor, but just a different level, maybe. That's what I'm referring to when I say that. I guess I just want to be clear that's what we're all saying. Matt, would you add anything to that?
No, I think there's trained therapists who have to go through certification processes and educational processes. And I think, you know, you could, if you, it's like, say your appendix burst, you could get that taken care of in the old school bus behind the Walmart by the guy who says he's a doctor, or you could go to the hospital. You know what I mean? And so I think in much of the same way that like medical doctors have to go through a rigorous certification process, so too clinical health or mental health professionals have to also, you know, get certified, and they have ethical standards, and they've got metrics and benchmarks, et cetera. So that's, that's what I'm referring to in this conversation. When we're talking about counseling, although I did get a B+ in pastoral counseling in seminary. I just want to put that out there.
You mentioned that actually, I think last time.
Well, I'm pretty proud of that B+. It was a hard class.
Yeah. But that's good. And I think it's important to note too, and maybe we'll get into this a little bit, but, and maybe next week, I know one of the things we want to do in this series is talk about the relationship between faith and therapy. Like how do they interrelate, you know, overlap, interlock, you know, that kind of thing. But just to play on your metaphor, Matt, of the the guy who says he's a doctor at the Walmart, there are also people like pastors, for example, who could help you with certain aspects of going through the surgery of getting your appendix removed. But you wouldn't want a pastor removing your appendix, you know, per se. Right.
Nope.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So anyway, it's kind of a like learning to stay in a lane, maybe that's a metaphor, but So anyway, we're talking about our experiences, right, Christy, today about like in with therapy, like licensed counselors. Yeah.
And maybe before we share our stories of being in therapy and going to counseling, I am curious to hear what is your family of origins ideas or thoughts about therapy, because I think that, at least for me, it does impact, it did impact what then I thought about it. And I'm curious to know if that's true for you. So what did your family of origin kind of think about therapy?
That's a good question.
For me, I don't remember talking about it that much. It definitely was not like a normal part of anybody's experience in my family. It wasn't like, you know, yeah, it wasn't like that I was aware of, you know, like neither of my parents like went to therapy or talked about it. And so, yeah, it wasn't, I think probably the impression that I came away with, just, you know, again, nobody was saying this out loud, but was just that like, it's a good thing for people who are really need it, you know? But if you like, if you're going to counseling, it's like, oh, like there's something really wrong. Like something's really bad has happened and you need to, you need a lot of help. So that's kind of the feeling. It was like, you know, it was like the same thing as like somebody who had to have major surgery because they got in a car accident. It was like, oh gosh, that's bad.
Yeah. You know? Same. Yeah, total yeah. Same for me. That was like, my parent, like I knew people in counseling, but it was like, it was a different level than just like some, anything that I was familiar with initially. And so it meant that they had attempted suicide or that there had been, you know, real huge trauma. And that was my experience. Matt, was that was it familiar to you?
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. The, I guess we can just get into this. The story my mom told about why my parents got divorced is because my mom wanted my dad to go to counseling and he wouldn't.
Wow.
So, so I, for me, from a very early age, and then when my parents got divorced, I had a really hard time with it. I was like a 6 or 7 and I was put in counseling. And I remember being really, really mad that I was in counseling and that they, like, I'm not going to talk about this. Kind of like, I just kind of shut down and I wouldn't talk for a long time. In fact, I remember this, I think I've told you the story, Ben. I remember this time that they put me in a chair facing a therapist and I turned my body 90 degrees away from the therapist and stared at the door. And I remember this, gosh, this had to be 40 years ago. I staring at the door and I remember working up the gumption to leave. And eventually, yes. And eventually it could have been like 4 minutes and it could have been a half an hour. I have no idea. But eventually I got out of the chair, ran to the door, opened the door, ran down the hall, went to the stairwell and sat in like one of those back stairwells that's like, you're not supposed to use it except for fires, you know? And I sat there for a long time until they found me. So pretty positive relationship with therapy, I guess you could say. those are my two endearing memories of therapy before the age of like 8. Yeah. Those two things. Oh, can I share one more?
Yeah, do it.
My mom liked the show Phil Donahue, and he kind of was like a pop therapist when he would like interview people and ask them questions and stuff. And I remember my mom really liked that. But that's a distant third, I think.
And now a word from a sponsor.
The Gravity Podcast is sponsored by the Gravity Formation Course, our 12-month cohort-based training in practical spiritual formation, where you'll learn how to notice how God is already at work in your life so you can participate more fully in the life that God shares with us. It is a discipleship process that goes beyond just gaining more knowledge and trying out some new practices. In the Gravity Formation Course, we go below the surface of our lives so that we can notice and name our deepest desires in God's presence, and to discern how God is at work in those desires to lead us toward holistic flourishing, more transformation, more life, more joy, more love. We've trained hundreds of people from all over the world in this formation framework, and it's helped many people to have a sense of God at work in their lives
and learn to be more at home in God's love. If you'd like to learn more, go to gravitycommons.com/formation.
All right, let's get back into our conversation.
My experience is similar to yours, Matt, as my parents got divorced when I was very little, only a few months old. And when I hit sixth grade, stories of why my parents got divorced came out. And I had a hard time understanding. I had a hard time like having a box for what my parents were telling me and processing it.
Yeah.
And so my body just responded. I started throwing up like in the middle of school. Like I'd be in the middle of band and I'm like, oh my gosh, I'm going to throw up. And I don't even know if I was like consciously thinking about the fact that my parents were divorced or like what was going on, but somehow my body was responding. And so my mom called a therapist and was like, my daughter's like throwing up at random. I mean, I wasn't sick, but it was just emotionally, that's how I was handling it.
Yeah.
And they found a counselor that was 45 minutes away from where I lived. And my mom drove me there every week. And I would sob, cry the whole way there. And then I would go in there and I would, quote unquote, be a good girl and do what they asked me to do and talk about whatever I needed to talk about. And then I would get back in the car. And my mom was like my safe person, you know, in my life at that time. Mm-hmm. And I would sob the whole way home. And that was my first experience with therapy. They were making me come.
Yeah.
My body was freaking out. I would cry the whole way there and the whole way back.
What do you?
And somehow they were like, "This is going to be good for you."
Yeah. What do you? What do you chalk that up to, Christy? Like, what did your body register as not good?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I think we all three have read The Body Keeps the Score.
Mm-hmm.
And if you haven't, I mean, there are parts of it that maybe you're not going to fully agree with, but there is some real good stuff in there. And I think my body had memories, was processing things that had happened and I didn't have words for. And so when I started talking about those things in therapy, you know, my body continued to respond. I mean, that whole throwing up thing happened for like a whole year. And it wasn't bulimia. It wasn't like I had an eating disorder. It was, and even to this day, if I get real emotional or if something really hard happens, the very first thing is that I have a stomach ache. It's just how I respond to my emotions. And so I needed to have words. I needed to have tools in my tool belt as to how do you process hard things.
Yeah.
But I would look back, and as horrible as that was, it was the best thing that my mom could have done. Because I think outside of Jesus, like little less savior for me and for how then I began to see the world and process things in healthy ways. So
I see.
What about your guys's? What's been your experience, I guess, with maybe your own mental health or like looking for a counselor? Was there something that sparked? Because I think we've all been in therapy at some point or are continually now. What sparked that for you guys?
Yeah, I can't quite remember what sparked it for me. I can't remember stories I tell people, but I do remember going to therapy. This is almost 15 years ago. And I forget why I was going to therapy, but there was something going on in my life where I was like, I should probably see a therapist. I went to see a therapist. And at the end of the session, the therapist said, "Well, I need to write something down for insurance. So I'm going to write down general anxiety disorder." And I remember when he said that, I was like, "That's dumb. Like, can't you think of something more accurate?" And little did I know how anxious I was, like so anxious about so many things. And so that actually was, that designation really fit me, but I was totally clueless to the amount of anxiety I was carrying around. So I share that story just to say it probably was anxiety that I couldn't manage anymore. That was doing really unhealthy work for me, and I needed help, and I didn't even know the help I needed, you know?
Yeah.
I'm similar in that I can't, you know, there wasn't a specific event, you know, that I can remember that sort of sparked anything for me. But I do remember one of the main realizations for me, as I started interacting with a therapist, with a counselor, cause you know, I have this, the way that I've dealt with things, in my life that have been hard is that I like one way of doing things is, you know, people kind of become really anxious and sort of outwardly sort of, they look like they have problems. I'm the opposite where I just like stuff my feelings and get to work. Like I just get, you know, I mean, like, you know, yeah. And I thought relatively it was like, well, that's, I don't really have many problems because I can do my job. You know, and I don't get too upset about things. And, you know, I sort of thought that's kind of what that meant. Yeah. But one of the things that I learned, in, therapy was just how much I resisted or avoided feeling negative feelings. Hmm. So fear, anger, sadness, those three in particular are feelings that I never wanted to feel. And I think there was some beliefs, you know, that we unpacked some beliefs about what those feelings mean, that felt threatening to me. And I think that's why I ended up sort of, refusing to acknowledge them, not wanting to feel them, you know, that kind of a thing, which can bring about, you know, like full on depression. And I remember my therapist saying, she's like, I don't think you're depressed. But she said, and I can't remember the name of the thing that she said, but she said, sometimes it seems like you have something that's like an almost depression. I can't remember the name of it. I should look it up. Maybe I'll find it, but it's like dissensthensia or something like that. You know, if you're a therapist and you're listening and you're like, oh, I know what you're talking about, you can email me. Let me know what I'm talking about, because I can't remember. But it was basically just this muting of emotions that happened sort of in my life, you know, just as a survival mechanism, as a response to, you know, hard things or whatever. And so for me, like a big part of what I learned in therapy was just how to feel my feelings. I'm still learning kind of how to do it. And I just remember being shocked at how, I don't know, just how much of, how many negative feelings I had in there, you know, like just how much sadness I had and fear. And I knew about the anger, but... but the sadness and the fear, I think, I didn't know about those. They feel a little bit more vulnerable than anger. Anger feels like, you know, I can do something with it, but fear and sadness, man, I don't know what to do with that. So, you know, and a big part of it, you know, I remember one of the assignments she gave me was just to take, she said, like, I want you to 8 times a day. And she said, I know that sounds like a lot, but 8 times a day, set a timer on your phone, whatever you need to do. But 8 times a day, I want you to take 8 deep breaths. Pause whatever you're doing and take 8 deep breaths. Hmm. That's it. That's the assignment. And that really helped me. It helped me to get in touch with what I was feeling at any given moment.
Nice.
Because I noticed how much of my life I just stuff it and I just move on. I just move on. I just stuff it and move on. And just the way it helped, like just to sit there and feel the feeling. I remember feeling like, well, this isn't doing any good. Mm-hmm. But then like, you know, after I feel my feeling for like a minute or two, I actually do feel better. And I was like, oh, it did help. Yeah. Like I feel better. I feel more present. I feel more connected to myself and to other people. I'm more able to empathize with other people. I'm more able to just experience their emotions with them. Cause I can feel my emotions with me. And so that was like a big, I don't know. It was like a quiet, but a big breakthrough. For me.
Yeah. There's something powerful about noticing your emotions, naming your emotions, and then navigating them, right? To be able to process them. And and that is part of emotional intelligence. It's what we grow in. It's what we learn. Mm-hmm. And I think therapy really does help us with that.
That was nicely alliterated, by the way. Is that something?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know.
Did you just I am writing
a dissertation.
Oh, okay. So. Well, that's true.
But I heard from all of us that we have maybe gone through seasons of therapy. Because I know for me, you know, my experience in junior high and sixth grade was not my only experience of therapy. I went for a little bit and then I went again in high school and then I went again in college and then I've gone again, you know, for marriage. And right now I'm currently seeing a therapist. And so it's been different seasons of when things have come up in my mental health or in my life, whether it's I'm now aware of trauma or I'm able to, like, you know, be able to name something, hey, I want to work through this, that I've gone through these different seasons. And most recently, similar to what you said, Matt, of when your therapist needed to write something down, my therapist based kind of nonchalantly about a year and a half ago was like, well, so you know that you do have complex PTSD. And I was like, oh, okay. And I just didn't think anything of it. And then she's like, I think I want you to read this book. And then she had me read this book. And I was like, what in the world? Like, I actually had language for what was going on in my brain, in my emotions, in my body. But I didn't know until she actually said that. And then we started working through that. And unfortunately, I don't know if this has been the case for you guys, but there has been maybe some shame that I've experienced from, I'm going to say, like, communities of faith when it comes to mental health diagnoses or going to counseling for mental health issues. That has really been unfortunate because my therapist, I mean, I said little s savior, outside of Jesus, I'm so grateful that I'm working. I have like a new vision, a new imagination, greater healing, greater wholeness because of what I've worked through and am working through. And I guess I'm wondering if you experience maybe some shame or some comments or people kind of belittling therapy in your process, in your stages of therapy.
I don't think that I have really experienced much of that, thankfully. I think by the time I was talking about it and actively involved in it, I was part of, was part of a faith community that I had started and, you know, and I was surrounded by people who valued it and, wanted that for me. So I don't think I've experienced much of that, thankfully.
I'm glad.
Yeah.
You know, I've actually had an opposite experience, Christy, where for many years, once I got a taste of like how therapy could help me, I was like, yeah, this is awesome. I got to do more of this. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it took, Ben knows this because, there's only about 3% of my thoughts I don't verbalize in my entire life. But I spent years looking for a therapist, a good one. And I felt like there's tons of good therapists, but especially when the pandemic hit, therapists needed therapy even more. And more people needed therapy than ever before. And so therapists are booked and they're cooked, you know? And it's hard to find one. So anyway, for me, it's been not like overcoming the stigma as much as it's been like, dear God, please let me find a therapist that I can trust. And that, I've had some just crazy therapy appointments where I was like, I can't believe I'm going to give you money when this is done.
Yeah. Mm.
They've just been nuts, including one where a guy closed his eyes and prayed for 20 minutes while I sat there silently.
I remember.
Not for you.
I
he was praying for that. Himself.
Yeah. Oh my goodness.
So anyway.
Yeah. Finding a counselor can be really hard and it doesn't just happen, you know?
Yeah.
For some people, it does. But I think like doing your due diligence, if there's like, what are you looking for? I think you know within maybe the first meeting if you're going to connect. But it's really important.
Yeah. It's interesting, isn't it? I'm just thinking about this out loud right now. But, you know, it's in one sense, we're trying to make it into this maybe commodity. That's maybe a little harsh, but like it's a service that we're trying to say is a standardized, you know, this is why therapists have to go through schooling. And you know what I mean? Like we're trying to say, this is what you can expect from this kind of professional. Like you go to a doctor and you can expect a certain sort of modicum of, you know, of care.
Yeah.
But the kind of thing that a therapist does is so personal. Mm-hmm. You know, like the doctor who, you know, does my colonoscopy, sorry. Or let's say appendectomy. Let's go back to the appendix surgery.
No. So the doctor, let's tell us more, Ben.
Anyway, I am a man of a certain age. And so I've begun to have certain kinds of procedures.
You've begun to talk publicly about your colonoscopy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. That's kind of an old man thing.
In front of your kids.
This isn't even a dad joke.
Boyfriends and girlfriends.
It's just a thing that happened to me last year. Thankfully, I'm good to go for 10. I don't have to do that again for 10 years. So.
Really?
Yeah. A clean bill of health. So.
Anyway.
I lost my train of thought. Where was I talking about? Okay, let's go back to the appendix because we get off track. You guys are too interested in my colonoscopies.
Yeah, it's our problem.
Yeah, you guys. You guys again. But the doctor who performs my appendectomy doesn't, I don't need to connect with him or her. You know, like I just need to know that they know how to like cut me open and, you know, and sew me back up. But like with a therapist, like you really, there is a personal connection part of this that is part and parcel to the work that's being done. And I think it does make it more difficult than finding a good doctor or finding a good accountant or finding a, you know, a lawyer, you know, that kind of a thing. So it's an interesting thing. I think maybe that's why we find it so difficult, is because it feels like, oh, there's therapists everywhere. I should be able to find one. Like I can find an accountant. But it's a really unique kind of thing that is being done in these spaces.
Yeah. We'll be right back.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Let's get back to the show.
Well, I love my therapist. I mean, I've had good therapists, but right now I'm like, she's dynamite and I'm so thankful for her.
That's great. What makes her good?
We just connect in a way that I've not connected with other therapists. Hmm. And I know that this is like, like this patient therapist, like relationship where you feel like they're your friend. She's connected with me. In a way where like, she's not my friend. We are not friends on social media. We do not hang out. There are big boundaries, but like, I feel like she's my friend and I'm willing to share with her. Like I'm open, totally open with her. Yeah. And there's part of me, like I hope she won't listen to this. Cause she knows I do it, but she don't listen to it cause we have boundaries anyway.
Cause she's not my friend. Okay.
Cause she's not my friend.
She's told me that repeatedly.
There's part of me that's like, maybe if I'm like, you know, get to a place where I don't need to see her anymore, we could be friends, right? And I'm like, oh, I don't think so.
It's
no,
kind of a What About Bob situation,
yes,
maybe.
Yes. Yeah.
You guys remember that movie?
Mm-hmm. Anyway, well, I would love to hear, guys, what have you learned about therapy, counseling, medication, and yourself as you have been in this process of taking your mental health seriously? And maybe Matt, let's start with you.
What have I learned about myself? As it relates to therapy, I have to find somebody who won't be charmed by my mouth. Like,
Tell me more.
Yeah.
Like the look of your mouth? What do you mean by that?
Yeah, because you know, Ben, sometimes when I talk, I point to my mouth.
Yeah.
And it's intoxicating for people.
Yeah,
it's,
there's nothing actually.
I bamboozle them.
Yeah.
No, no, I just mean like, I think that I have the ability to sound healthier than I really am because I know some things and I can talk about them. Mm-hmm. Right? I mean, this is the problem. One way to talk about the problem with the church is that there's a lot of pastors who can sound more holy than they are because they know some things and they know how to talk about them, right? And so for me, I've learned I need to find somebody who's not intimidated by me or impressed with me and somebody who can deal with that aspect of my personality that often is a cover up for pain or brokenness. And that takes some time. I mean, it takes some time because as much as I want a good therapist who can do that for me, I also like people to be impressed with me. You know what
that
I mean?
That feels good too. I'll pay that you feels to do good that. Too.
Yeah. Yeah. Here's your $140 and tell me again. No. So that's one thing.
And have you found someone who can kind of like cut through the weeds and actually get to the heart of what you need to kind of talk about?
Yeah. So the therapist I'm seeing now, and this is the second thing, is that there's a lot of really healthy or good modalities, meaning different disciplines of therapy that I've done brain spotting and I've done some sound and body work and I've done cognitive behavioral therapy and some others. I'm probably EMDR, but I'm doing one now called internal family systems. And it's incredible. It dovetails really well with what we do in our Gravity Leadership Academy. And I can see my mic just keeps falling down. Here we go.
Listeners, you can't see, but it just like slowly just goes down as he sits there.
And I'm trying to leave it alone, but anyway,
thing up.
It's really good. And this is just parenthetically, he's the cheapest therapist I've had in 20 years, 15 years.
Hey, that's a good thing.
You might just have to, Matt's almost off the screen. You might just have to hold that thing up with your hands there for just a second.
Oh, look at that. So I've learned that there's a lot of effective modalities and there's different modalities for different seasons and different problems. Mm-hmm. And then three, I think, here's the third thing that's really a bit important. I think for a long time as a young Christian man, and as somebody looking for a therapist, I was just looking for like a guru to fix me. Like I wanted somebody to like wave a magic wand, do your therapy thing, pray your magic prayer, and just fix this. And I think what I've learned is that the best therapist finds a way to get you to reach down inside of who you are and do the work.
Yeah.
You have to do the work. And the therapist can guide, can like come alongside you, can like midwife, help you breathe, but you got to push.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I think that's a learning. Yeah.
It's good.
Ben, what about you? What have you learned about yourself or as you've kind of...
Yeah. Well, I think besides what I shared earlier, you know, that I've learned I have this tendency and that I have to practice. There's certain practices that I've embedded into my life that are really, really important for me, like not to give up on, that help me stay in touch with how I'm feeling so that I can be more connected. And so
do you still set a timer? Do you still take deep breaths 8 times a day?
No. That was sort of a temporary intervention to get me in touch with what was going on, you know, in that moment. So, I've had seasons when I do that, you know, but I think the things that, I do end up actually several different disciplines help me to do that deep breathing. Not just as its own thing, but like going for a walk, you know, with my dog 2 times a day, going like showing up for me, like morning prayer is a time for me to breathe and to be present, to myself, to my emotions, to God. That's a really important discipline for me. So anyway, stuff like that, like exercise, even I would include in that, is a helpful discipline, that gets, especially because I spend 15 minutes in the sauna after I exercise.
Yeah, buddy.
Cause my gym, I found out my gym has a sauna.
How'd you find that out, Ben?
Well, yeah, it's just randomly. I searched on the internet or something.
So I'm looking, Chrissy, let me tell you, I was like researching gyms. And I was like, Ben, I think, how's your sauna in your gym? He's like, we don't have a sauna. I was like, well, the website totally says you do. And he's like, no, there's no sauna in there. I'm like, are you sure? He's like, yeah, there's, well, why does your website? Well, I mean, maybe it's, I don't know. I don't think we have a sauna. And then like, I talked to him a week later. He's like, well, you know what? We've got a sauna.
It's that little door in the corner. I didn't realize. I thought that was just a closet.
No, yeah. So I sit in a sauna 5 times a week, mm-hmm. and it is necessary.
Yeah,
for me.
Yeah, I find it helpful.
I do think these rhythms that we—I mean, all of us have different ones, mm-hmm. but like you learn these tools, I think, in therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
For different seasons of your life that really do make a difference, yeah. And I appreciate them. So. Yeah. It's good.
Yeah. So anyway, I got off track again. I don't know what it is about. I don't know what's going on with me today. Kind of just wandering all over the place with my words. But yeah, that's one learning just about myself. I think another, I mean, I don't know, this is kind of a simple thing, but I don't actually go to a therapist regularly right now. And you know, my therapist told me that that's fine. You know what I mean? And so I think there's seasons sometimes for us where it's like, and some people might find it really helpful maybe to just be like, you know what? I just want to do this, you know, every month for the rest of my life. And it's just helpful for me. That's great. But that's not like a prescription for everybody, I think. And so I think my relationship with, you know, with therapy has been like that. It's sort of episodic where it's like, okay, mm-hmm. I'm stuck somewhere or like, I don't know what's going on here. And so I get some tools, I get some insight, and then I practice that. I kind of change my practice and go back out of it. So anyway, I think that's another learning is just therapy can be episodic and seasonal for people. And that's okay too.
So, yeah. I 100% agree. It has been that way for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was going to say, how about for you, Christy?
Yeah.
Yeah. Just as like kind of what I've learned about myself.
Any other learnings?
Yeah, I think for most of my life, I saw things black and white, right or wrong, good or bad, you know, victim or perpetrator. Like that's how I viewed everything.
Interesting.
And I think that therapy has helped me see things more accurately and probably more gray. That we are this mixture of good and bad. And, you know, if you would have asked me even probably, you know, 5 years ago for me to share my story, it probably would have been, it would go back and forth to either all the good things that I saw God do in my life or all the really hard things that had happened in my life. Mm. And I didn't blend the two together. Until recently. Mm. And I just think I kind of have this joke about how like I just saw it as either rain or sunshine. There was no rainbow because I didn't have them together. And I think that that is something that I'm growing in, learning about myself and able to see in other people too. We're not, you know, if I get mad at somebody, it's not like, oh, they're a terrible person. It's like, oh, no, they're just a mixture. And just like me, I'm human and I'm a mixture too. And so that's probably like one of the big lessons that I'm currently processing and learning right now. And part of that goes along with what we do with In Gravity of just grace and truth, right? Of like what does it look like to love with both of those things?
Yeah.
And for it to become more natural, and I actually believe it.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
That's great, Christy. It's just such a key thing.
Yes.
For your work as a pastor, and just our work as humans to be able to have that kind of grace, you know, just to say, yeah, we're a mixture, that things aren't black and white. It just helps so much. It helps so much.
Yeah.
Yeah. You guys, it's good to talk about this. I just think it's important. And especially like all of us as pastors, man, I have a list, right? And somebody comes to me and shares a story. Often I think we're like the kind of these gatekeepers that then can say like, oh, I'm not actually the person that you should talk to, but let me give you a name of a therapist who could help in these different situations, whether that's like marriage or eating disorder or self-harm or suicide, you know, all of these things. I'm really grateful for the work of therapists and counselors. And I guess I want to say, like, listener, if you are listening and you are thinking about going to counseling, do it. Pick up the phone, make the appointment, and see if this is, you know, could be a season for you. So, any last thoughts or, not dad jokes. I didn't really want a dad joke.
Oh, what are you, she's like, mixing the dad joke.
What do you mean, Christy?
I think she just vetoed it.
I don't understand. I
she's kind of running this episode, so it's Matt.
Just any last thoughts? Like thoughts. For our,
just reflections.
No dad counseling, jokes. Therapy, yourself.
I would just tell our listeners, if you're following along with this and resonating in some ways, feel free to reach out. And let us know what that is. You can leave us a message if you go to gravityleadership.com/message. We've already had somebody reach out with an encouraging message just about this series. Or if you have questions or something that, you know, like maybe it's like, hey, I've always wondered about this. Like maybe you guys could talk a bit about that. Not that we're like experts on all this stuff, but we do have experience, I guess, both as pastors and as humans. So we'd love to hear from you. You can email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com or again, visit, you can leave us a voice message at gravityleadership.com/message. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I'd love to hear from
you. I will say therapy is some of the hardest work I've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah.
And some of the best work I've ever done.
Yeah.
So friend, if you're in it and you're in the thick of it and you feel like this is really hard, I just want to keep cheering you on because it's worth it.
Yeah. So. Amen.
All right. Amen.
All right, friends.
We'll see you next time.
Next time.
Maybe next time Christy will allow a dad joke, but not today.
I don't know. I feel like it's unthinkable. It's unthinkable not to end the
podcast.
To not end it with a dad
joke. We've done it before.
Well,
we've done it before in this series. So.
How do you think the unthinkable?
Is this a joke?
With an iceberg.
Oh my goodness. You did it!
Yes.
You did it!
Blew right through the warning. Wow.
Right. Oh, friends. Okay, there you have it.
All right. Next week on the podcast, Christy confronts Matt.
We have a counseling session together. Oh my goodness. All right. Have a good week.
Peace, y'all. I'll see you next week. Bye bye.
Thanks for joining us for this episode of the Gravity Leadership Podcast. If you're finding it helpful or enjoyable, we'd love it if you'd tell your friends about it.
Ratings and reviews online also help others find the podcast. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss an episode. And you can join our Gravity community online for free at gravityleadership.com/join.
You'll get our latest content delivered straight to your inbox, as well as our email most Fridays with curated links to articles we find interesting and helpful. To join us, go to gravityleadership.com/join.
Our podcast is produced by Ben Sternke and Matt Tebbe. Aaron Sternke edits and mixes the show. You can check out his work at aaronsternke.com.
We'd love to hear from you. To record a question or comment for us, go to gravityleadership.com/message and click the start recording button.
You can also email us at podcast@gravityleadership.com. Catch you next time.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.